Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today's Friday, October 6, 2023. Okay, it's 10:26 in the morning Eastern Time. We'll take a look at what's going on with the markets. Had a big labor report come out earlier today. We're also going to today take a look at what is called the Magnificent Seven, what that is and how they are doing. We have a painting that was valued at $15,000 2 years ago, about to go up for auction, expected to get around $18 million. See what's going on with that. We have a company, a financial company that is now under investigation by the Justice Department and the Securities and Exchange Commission. So we'll see what's going on there. And today we're going to continue on with our introduction of mutual funds, talk about the history and how they are managed. Okay, as far as the markets. Okay, so basically what's happened, we had this big labor report come out this morning for the month of September. Basically, it was expected 170,000 new jobs would be created in the United States, which is actually pretty good. Number came out at almost twice that, 336,000. And the markets are down based on that news. We have the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 0.47%, S&P 500 down 0.40%, and the NASDAQ Composite down 0.21%. So why would the markets be down on that news? Well, it's good for the economy. Almost 10,000 jobs a day are being created. Problem is, though, with the markets, for a lot of companies, you know, I've talked about this in the past, labor is their biggest expense. Labor and benefits can be upwards of 60%, 60% of companies' expenses. And the theory being, in a tight labor market, companies have to raise wages and increase benefits to attract and retain workers. And as its biggest expense, a lot of companies then simply raise wages to cover the, you know, the increased expenses there. So, and that creates inflation. So that's why the market's down there. But we'll keep an eye on that. The next focus for the market will actually be corporate earnings. We just had the third quarter for most companies end on September 30th. So starting next week, we should see earnings start to come in for the next month or so. Generally, banks come in first because their numbers are a little bit more straightforward to put together. So that'll be the next focus for the markets. I saw an article on how well what is called the Magnificent Seven is doing. Now, I know that was a movie, but in the investment world, what the Magnificent Seven refers to are the seven largest stocks in the Standard & Poor's 500 based on what's called market capitalization. Now, what market capitalization is, this is stock market value. This is the value, it's the total number of shares that make up a company times the current share price, called market capitalization or market cap. Now, that may not especially reflect how big the company is. That's based on sales, usually. Walmart's actually considered the world's largest corporation. But the Magnificent Seven, though, talk about who they are in a second. Yeah, they've done really well this year. The Standard & Poor's 500 index, S&P 500, is up 12.4% so far for the year. So it's actually a pretty good year. But these Magnificent Seven have been doing much, much better. So who are they and what's the significance of them doing so well? Okay, so here they are in alphabetical order, how well they've done year to date. First, we have Alphabet, better known as Google, up 53.3% year-to-date. Amazon, up 50% year-to-date. Apple, up 35.2%. Meta, more commonly known as Facebook, up 153%. Microsoft, 34.1%. NVIDIA, up 206%. It's been a big winner there. And Tesla, up 111%. Yeah, so the thing to remember is with the S&P 500, that 12.4%, see, bigger companies count more than smaller companies in the S&P 500 based on market capitalization. So these companies are a big part of that, why it's up 12.4%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, its 30 stocks actually have equal weighting. But anyway, so we got that news. These companies are all doing really, really well. So Another day, I'll talk about investing in the entire S&P 500. So you would be up 12.4% so far this year. But that will be for another day. All right, so we got that news going on. Yeah, the painting, it's a Rembrandt. Basically, a painting that was thought to be done by one of Rembrandt's students has actually now been determined by art experts to actually be done by Rembrandt himself back in the 1600s. The painting is called the Adoration of the King. So you could use a search engine, look that up. Anyway, yeah, here's the thing about paintings. You know, like some of you here, you know, I know a little bit about this as far as art and old paintings. A lot of them are hard to determine by these old masters, as they were called. Were the paintings done by they themselves, or were they done by their students, or by somebody copying them? See, a lot of these artists, Rembrandt in particular, they actually didn't make, he lived back in the 1600s, they didn't make a lot of money from selling paintings in their lifetime. They had a lot of students. That's where they made a lot of their money. And so what would happen, a lot of their students would try to copy their stylings, their way of doing things. You also have, even today, just like you have music artists that cover songs by, you know, other famous artists, you have artists that today, they replicate paintings by, you know, famous artists, like somebody's like replicating the Mona Lisa or something. Well, anyway, the thing is, when somebody's just copying a painting, it's usually easy to determine it's a copy, it's not the original. But when it comes to the students, sometimes they were trying to copy their teacher's stylings, how they did things, brush strokes. So this is the case with this painting. It was assumed that it was done by one of Rembrandt's students. So it was valued 2 years ago at around $15,000, but art experts have now determined that it was done by Rembrandt himself. So it's about to go up for auction. It is estimated it will get approximately $18 million. So we got that news out there also. Okay, so let's talk about this financial firm that's under investigation and then continue on today talking about mutual funds. Okay, the company is called Freedom Holding. Now, this is a company, it's run by an individual, I believe he's from Russia, maybe Kazakhstan, and this company is, there's been some rumors for the last few months that this company might have some issues that are being investigated, again, all allegations, and it's being heavily shorted. I'll explain what that is in a second. The stock is down about 19% from the beginning of September. Anyway, it says being investigated, Freedom Holding, being investigated by federal prosecutors and the Securities and Exchange Commission over compliance issues, insider stock trading, and an offshore affiliate tied to sanctioned individuals. All right, so we'll have to see what's going on there. The company's symbol in Freedom Holding, two words, FRHC, Frank Robert Henry Charlie. It is right now $81.65 a share, down 4.07%. And the stock was sitting a little over $100 a share on September 1st. Yeah, what shorting is, I've talked about this before. This is borrowing stock, selling it on the anticipation you can then buy it back at a lower price, make money on a downwards moving stock. Just real quick recap of that. Most of the time people buy stocks anticipating they'll go up. So you got a stock at $50 a share and you think it's going to go up to 60. So you buy it at 50, say 100 shares, $5,000, sell it at 60, so for $6,000, made a $1,000 profit. That's called a long position. What if you think stock's going to go down? So let's say you have a relative that owns a certificate for 100 shares of this stock. And you ask, they don't plan on selling it. You ask them, can I borrow your stock? They said, sure. They sign your name, sign it over to you on the back. You then deposit it in your brokerage account, immediately sell it for $5,000. And in this case, this is a short position because you sold borrowed stock. And you're correct. Say it goes down to $40 a share. You don't think it's going to go down anymore. You buy it back, sold it for $5,000, buy it back for $4,000, have a certificate printed in your relative's name, and hand them back their certificate. You basically made money on a stock that went down. You basically did the buy low, sell high strategy. You just did the selling first. Problem with short selling, though, is you could have unlimited losses. See, with a long position, when you bought the stock for $5,000, the worst that can happen, the stock goes to zero and you lost $5,000, but you have unlimited profits. There's no limit to how high it can go. Problem with shorting is you've limited your profit, but have potentially unlimited losses. So in a best case scenario, you short the stock at 50, $5,000 deposited in your account, stock goes to zero, you buy it back for zero, you made $5,000. But what if it starts going up? See, there's theoretically no limit to how high a stock can go up. And so what happens is, say it stocks at $120 a share, your relative says, I want the stock back. You got to pay $12,000 to buy it back. You lost $7,000 on a $5,000 investment. Well, this stock has been rumored to be heavily shorted. And the idea behind that is that if this stock, if it turns out these allegations are not true and this stock starts going back up, you could have what's called a short squeeze. Investors begin buying it back to cover their short positions. That pushes it up more. So something to keep an eye on. If you ever want to see what are the most shorted stocks, all you have to do is use a search engine like Google and just put in most shorted stocks. And you will be able to see lists on places like MarketWatch, Yahoo, places like that. So, but anyway, a little introduction or review of how short selling works. All right. So it's called short interest, by the way. One thing about that, I'm looking here at MarketWatch, the most shorted stock, as far as 51% of the total stock out there has been shorted. It's a company called Wheeler Real Estate, WHLR, William Henry, Larry Ralph. Yeah, I wouldn't short this. It's only $1.29. That's your maximum profit if you buy it and sell it if you borrow and sell it at $1.29. But yeah, that'd be something to keep an eye on. You want to find out why it's at such a low price. But if this stock starts moving, you could have investors scrambling to cover their short positions, begin to push it back up. So that's how that might work, called a short squeeze. All right. So mutual funds. Continue on with our introduction of mutual funds. So last time I mentioned what a mutual fund is, it's where a large number of people pool their money together and use that pooled money to buy a collection of stocks, bonds, or it could actually be cash type investments called money market investments. All right, we'll say stocks and bonds here at the moment. All right, so basically, well, who's going to manage the money? Say it's a stock mutual fund. Who's going to make those decisions? Who's going to buy, what to buy, what to sell, when to buy, when to sell? Well, mutual funds have, the collection of money is called a portfolio, and they have what are called portfolio managers. Now, this could be one individual, it could be, you know, a partnership, two or three, it could be a committee. All right, so first of all, the history of mutual funds. They go back to the 1920s. The first mutual fund is considered to be the Wellington Mutual Fund, which is today owned by the Vanguard Mutual Fund Group. That goes back to the 1920s. When I started in the brokerage industry in the mid-70s, there were maybe 400 mutual funds out there. And I remembered by 1985, we had 650. The reason I remembered that, I made an effort to learn about all 650. Today, I think there's 7,600 mutual funds in the United States. Why is that an issue? Well, there's only a certain number of people that really have the ability to effectively manage these mutual funds. And yeah, when you had, you know, 500, 600, 700 of them, yeah, you probably had enough qualified individuals out there that could effectively run these things. Today, with 10 times that amount, some of these mutual fund managers, you know, I'll tell you, are really good. They really do know what they're doing. Like Peter Lynch, when he ran the Fidelity Magellan Fund back years ago, some of them really do know what they're doing. Some of them, well, let's say less said the better. And that's something to be careful of with these mutual funds. They're called actively managed when you have people running them. It would be like the National Basketball Association expanding to 300 teams. I mean, there's only, you know, 30 teams today. There's only so many people that have the ability to play basketball at an NBA level. And, you know, you expand to 300 teams, you're going to dilute the talent. Well, that's a problem with a lot of what are called these actively managed mutual funds. And a lot of them actually can't even beat the markets. So, you know, I'll talk more about that on the upcoming sessions. I will also talk about why you may want to go a lot of times with what's called a non-managed mutual fund, an index fund that actually replicates a market, doesn't try to buy and sell to beat the market. But we'll talk about that stuff on some of the upcoming sessions. But on the next session, I want to talk a little bit more about what are the advantages of having one individual running a mutual fund? What are the disadvantages? What are the advantages and disadvantages of partners? Advantages, disadvantages of a committee? They all have advantages, disadvantages. It's been found for actively managed mutual funds, no one of the three has been shown to be better than the other two, but we'll talk more about that on the next session. So just trying to do an introduction today. Okay, so hope everyone's doing well. Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and I will talk to you again soon. Take care. See ya.